the information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now, on 105.9 FM WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle, live in studio, waiting to take your calls on anything you'd like to talk about your health. Remember, we do it from a platform of, as much as we can, non-drug, non-surgical intervention, right? Call me, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. You probably had problems that you've tried all kinds of things. You went to Dr. Google and not come up with the things that were the right answers. Well, here's your opportunity. Let's figure out what we can do about it and put you in a place that you can make a huge difference and actually reclaim that gift. It's called your life, and get you on a better track and put you in the direction that you need to be. I'm going to talk about a few things today I think that are really important, and we'll kind of move into your problems and your issues as you call in today. I have the opportunity and the pleasure and the privilege of lecturing literally all over the world. And one of the things that I lecture on is chronic pain patterns and things that just don't go away. And I have the opportunity to, you know, to present in front of doctors of all different venues, whether they're chiropractors and acupuncturists, medical physicians, osteopaths, people who supposedly specialize in chronic pain patterns. And the thing that we have to be aware of is that when you look at a pain presentation, you have to look at the body as a system, something that is integrated and fully communicative one system to the other. But before we get into that, I want to talk about something that is very significant, something that is costing thousands and upon thousands of lives, things that is costing, a thing that is costing this country billions and billions of dollars per year. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about opioid overdose drug abuse. And it's one that started some years ago because, you know, the council there's many of them, but, you know, I don't want to point fingers at them because I'll expose myself to a little finger pointing myself. So, but the thing that I want you to know is that this came about as a prescription item that was used to, what? Control pain. So I want to give you some revised statistics. This has been going on now for quite some time, but I'm going to start with something very straight up that you can all understand, that the number of deaths that are associated with opioid involvement prescription drugs is in excess of 34,000 deaths per year. 34,000 deaths per year. It's crazy, right? You say, how can that be? Well, it is, and we're going to talk about how it happened and so forth. So every day, more than 130 people die in the United States, just in this country, because of opioid overdosing. You know, the misuse of and the addiction to opioids, including prescription pain relievers, heroin, and a synthetic opioid that they call fentanyl, is so serious that we really truly have a national crisis. And now, again, we're only talking about the United States. Add that to other countries who, fortunately, don't do it as egregiously as we do, but also use them. You know, it's a serious national situation that's affecting not only public health, but social and economic considerations and welfare within this country. The CDC, our friends, you know, the Center of Disease Control and Prevention, estimates that the total economic burden, quote unquote, that's the way they position this thing, of prescription opioid misuse alone in the United States is in the neighborhood of about $79 billion a year. And that includes the costs of healthcare, loss of productivity, addiction treatment, and also, yes, criminal, you know, prosecution and involvement. So how did this all come about? How did it happen? You know, there's a why behind everything, correct? Well, in 1990s, the pharmaceutical companies reassured the medical community that patients would not become addicted to these prescription opioid painkillers. So anytime Big Pharma tells you something, you got to step back and say, really? Really? Well, the problem was is that they knew, in fact, that they were addictive. And healthcare providers began to prescribe them at amazingly higher levels and greater rates. Subsequently, it led to widespread misuse and diversions of these types of medications before it became clear to the public and, you know, unknowing doctors, which doesn't make any sense to me, but nevertheless, we'll go with that scenario, that these would indeed become not only a little addictive, but incredibly addictive to the point where some of the worst receptors in the body couldn't let these things go and needed to have them, and people would actually lose their minds and their lives because of that. So this widespread diversion and misuse of these medications, you know, began to increase, right? So in 2017, I'm rolling the clock back just 2 years ago, more than 47,000 Americans died as a result of an opioid overdose, including prescription opioids, heroin, and illicitly manufactured fentanyl. And many of you heard about fentanyl. Well, it's a very powerful synthetic opioid. That's all it is. You hear fentanyl, think about that it's a drug, it's an opioid. That's all you really need to know at this point. So it's estimated that 1.7 million people in 2017 in the United States suffered from substance use disorders related to prescription opioid pain relievers. And here's the other piece. 652,000 suffered from heroin use disorders, and they're not mutually exclusive. Isn't that interesting? So step back a little bit and really let what I just said to you sink in. We've got a problem. And we're not even talking about the spin-offs of these medications and the concomitant use of other medications in addition to that. So we're going to talk about pain today. We're going to talk a little bit about how you control whether it's a headache pain or my shoulder hurts me, you know, my low back hurts. And we're going to talk about resolutions because things can be resolved dramatically, significantly without this stuff. But we're living in a society today that wants expediency. Nobody wants to take responsibility for what's going on in their lives. And that's unfortunate because the body was designed to resolve itself, to turn things around. So what do we know truly about the opioid crisis? What are factual information and what's not? What do we know about pain? And like I said, I sit there and I talk to doctors who should know, who should have the capacity based on their education to think through systems. And I'm always taken back when so much of the data that I give them and so much of the information that I lay in front of them and purport for them to think differently, they don't understand. They don't get it because they're not, and it's not their fault, is that the system is set up for its own demise. It's set up in a way that we compartmentalize everything, meaning that if you have this, do this, without thinking what the ramifications are from everything else. So what do we really know? What do we know about the opioid crisis? So somewhere up to about 29%+ of patients are prescribed opioids for chronic pain and misuse. That's almost a third. That's crazy. So if you go in when you have chronic pain, you say, you know, yeah, my low back hurts me all the time, or, you know, I get these headaches on an ongoing basis, or, you know, my shoulders hurt or my hands tingle. Guess what you're going to get? Maybe, you know, 3 out of 10 times. You're going to get an opioid, right? So, and up to 12% develop an opioid use disorder. And we're going to talk about that a little bit as well. And about 6 to 7% who misuse prescription opioids, they transition to another drug. It's called heroin. And obviously, heroin is a street drug. So now you've got out of the, you know, a realm of 100% of the people who are complaining of pain patterns, 6 to 7% of them ultimately end up addicted to an illegal substance called heroin. Now, these are straight up statistics. Some of them I'm quoting from the work that I've put together from many different sources, and some of them are directly from the National Institute on Drug Abuse. And you can look these up and you can check them out yourself, but it's amazing that it is not known. You know, we still, even though we have opioid crisis, we try to massage it. You remember a few months ago, maybe 6 months ago, it was a big thing on television, radio, and so forth. Now you haven't heard much at all, have you? Why? Everybody should ask the question, why is that? Was it because, you know, you hear all these ads from different law firms that are going after these, you know, these clotting screens, and they're going after different types of medications, and if you or your loved one were ever, yada, 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 right? Well, there's this fear pattern as well, because this could result in not only billions of dollars in reparations, but perhaps trillions of dollars. And so a lot of things get set aside. So 80% of the people who use heroin first misuse prescription opioids. Think about that. So heroin by itself is not a major problem. Comparatively, obviously it is. But most of the people, 80% of these people, used an opioid before they got into heroin. Wow. That's kind of, you know, is that settling in for you? Now, opioid overdoses increased 30% from July 2016 through September 2017. We're not even talking about the last 2 years. And that's across the board in the sampling of 45 states. The Midwest part of our country, you know, good old breadbasket, good old, you know, middle America, saw opioid overdoses increase 70% from July 2016 to September 2017. It's hitting everywhere. It's not just in the major cities. It's across the board because good old Doc writes the script, right? Well, we'll just give it a little bit and then we'll discontinue it. It's not so easily done. Opioid overdoses in the cities, now we'll get to where we are, right, in the metropolitan Washington area and other places like that, increased by 54% in 16 of the larger metropolitan areas. So obviously this is not only, oh my God, but it's truly become a public health crisis with devastating consequences, including, you know, opioid misuse and related overdoses of other things, as well as, and here's the piece that everybody doesn't want to talk about. And this piece is one that grabs me. There's a rising incidence of neonatal abstinence syndrome due to opioid use and misuse during pregnancy. Think about that for a second, right? The increase in injection drugs also contributed to the huge spread in infectious diseases, including what? HIV and hepatitis C. So not only that we have one calamity and crisis, but we have others that are springing off from it. We have people who are dying from other situations or having to use more and more drugs. It's like a self-perpetuating situation for Big Pharma, right? So now that they started the opioid situation, and I'm not saying that they're doing this on purpose. I'm just saying kind of interesting to me. You know, call me a curious sort of person. I like to look at these things from a lot of different pathways, if you will. So as we look throughout the history of medicine, science can be an important part of the solution in resolving this situation. But I'm going to shift that for you later on in the program. I'm going to show you how easy it is to control pain. So we have to look at the priorities. And one is moving, you know, in a different direction to treatment and recovery services, you know, promoting, you know, overdose, you know, reversing drugs. Well, there's ways of getting that done. Strengthening, you know, the academic portion, the understanding of what really happens. It's like train your physicians to really get it, right? And providing cutting edge research on pain addiction. Yeah, there is that, but sometimes it's just common sense. Like, you know, listen up already. And also, we have to put together better practices of pain management. We're going to talk about better practices in pain management as we get into the second half of the program today. But for me, this is an area that I teach about. This is an area that I have the opportunity to touch a lot of different healthcare practitioners throughout the world. And it's not unusual for the delusion to persist across the board. We're going to talk about that. I want your phone calls at 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. Don't go away. Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozell. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. I am in studio. Call me, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you and see if we can point you in a direction and help you out with things that are, you know, kind of unattainable at this point. You've tried everything. You've researched Dr. Google and they've come up with nothing. So let's see if we can turn things in a little different direction. Talking about opioid crisis in the second half of the program, we're going to get in a little bit and talk about how you can deal with pain. As I said earlier in the program, I have the privilege and the ability to be able to lecture and teach doctors across the world in many different healthcare specialties, whether they're chiropractors, acupuncturists, medical physicians, pain control experts, osteopaths. And, you know, the one thing that seems to be consistent is there's so many of them that don't have a big toolbox relative to treat things. It's a prescription. And there's more and more, fortunately, thank God, that are getting to understand that, you know, less is better. And there's a lot of pressure being put on legislators, at least in this country, to change things. So, but what does that mean to you? You're taking medications. You know, what can you do about pain? We're going to talk about different solutions and pathways as we get into the program. But opioid deaths in 2017, we said, reached about 48,000 people per year. That's a couple years ago. It really hasn't slowed down a whole lot, but it's starting to cap out. And it's because of legislation that is being used. You know, the use of, different fentanyls and other types of drugs, and fentanyl is just an opioid that's a synthetic, as we talked about earlier on. The use of the opioid drugs continues to skyrocket. It goes crazy. However, because of healthcare and law enforcement agencies, the primary focus at this point is to stem this crisis and to stop the overdose deaths. Physicians now cannot just give you an open-ended prescription. You know, so because of that, you know, we're seeing things begin to die down a little bit. But you have to distinguish also between interventional pain management procedures, you know, such as minimally invasive procedures of manipulation, acupuncture, even laser spine surgery, minimally invasive, sacroiliac joint injections, and even to the point where they're using different things that are no longer considered mainstream. Patients, you know, who are searching every place that they possibly can, Mayo Clinic, downtown here in Washington, and some of our top facilities, they're screaming that I can't live my life like this, and neither should you. And so what we're going to try to do is open that up and really turn this thing around for you. October 2018 seemed to be a turning point. 33 states enacted legislation to limit opioid prescriptions, and different communities around the country are taking all kinds of innovative approaches to stem the tide of addictive painkillers. Why is everybody going crazy? One is because of the amount of money that it's costing all of us, these spinoffs and the different types of addictive patterns that are there. But more importantly, how do we get people's lives back? You know, we said earlier in the program that up to 30% of people who go into a physician for any kind of pain are going to get a prescription for an opioid type of drug. So lawmakers in Florida enacted rules governing prescriptions and allocated $60 million, which is really a drop in the bucket, towards treatment resources and a wider availability of the opioid antidote. And the one that seems to be quite effective is called naloxone. And it seems to have some effect. But nevertheless, getting somebody to do that, and it has its side effects. And it also, you know, people don't want to get off of that. So now that becomes an addictive pattern as well. In Texas, prescriptions now contain advanced security procedures. And that's, I'm quoting that. It's to prevent fraud for filing process, because a lot of guys are selling this stuff out of their back offices because there's money there. And so you've seen a lot of people, unfortunately, they're going to jail. This allows physicians, if it's used properly, all kinds of docs across the board, to check a patient's prescription history for information related to different types of drug abuse and that nature. Ohio, saw their death rates over this last year cut 30% in 6 months since handling a different approach. So there's ways of making this happen, but people are still in pain, and we have to begin to look at, how do we get people out of pain? How do we get rid of it? How do they reclaim their life? How can they be functional again? How can they optimize their body's capacity to live? And when I see patients on a day-to-day basis at our office at the Results Center for Healing, and, you know, the doctors that I treat, the question always becomes, what can I do to transition these patients? I have a patient on this. I have a patient on this. How do I get them off of that? And often we have to work with drug treatment facilities to make that happen, but then we're still left with the pain. How do we get rid of the pain? And that's what we're going to talk about in the second part of the program. Why don't you give me a call at 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. And I'm going to give you some very straightforward data that is reproachable. It's one that you have to really take into consideration. Do you think for yourself, or you continue to get duped? Well, as smart thinking human beings, I think we all want to have choices and capacity and to be able to weigh things for ourselves. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. I am in studio. Call me, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. What's the old axiom? In pain, call now. Give us a call. Let's talk about your pain and see what we can do to help you out. Or anything else that you'd like to know about. It doesn't make any difference. We're happy to entertain anything and try to get you in a place where you can be proactive. You can be the captain of your ship. So we're talking about opioid addiction, but we're talking about pain, pain problems, headaches, shoulder pains, back pain, foot pain, you know, the thing that drives you to take different types of medications and try to find out what can be done about it. So here's the deal. You know, we're talking about pain patterns that are persistent, and everybody's scrambling now because they know that this untoward situation has gone off the rails, and now we have to get people off of these things because they're going to end up dead. You know, we have tens of thousands of people that are dying annually because of this type of approach to controlling pain. Not a good thing. So are there non-pharmacological approaches to effectively handle and address acute, subacute, and chronic pain, particularly pains like cancer pains? And opioids, by the way, have been given patients with cancer pain. Integrative, you know, are there integrative procedures? What needs to be done? What has to be done? Well, questions have to be answered, right? The first question is, you know, without the use of drugs, how does someone who is in chronic pain handle it? Legitimate question. You know, it needs to be addressed. You know, how can they get referrals and from their primary physician to access drug-free care that will be effective, you know, for all these patterns? And how can they ensure that their health providers and their healthcare plans will cover these costs of services? Okay, well, that's the problem, right? It is a very specific situation. We're going to talk about what the different commissions have come up with and what they feel is very specific. And I'm happy to tell you that it's in our bailiwick straight up across the board. 888-630-9625. Let's go to the phones. Ron, thank you for calling. How can I help you, sir?
Hi, Dr. Rozelle.
Sir.
So this is a topic that I've talked with many times with my wife. I am a back pain sufferer, failed back pain syndrome, if you want to call it that. And I have been on hydrocodone for a few years, only once a year. Usually I'll go into my pain management specialist and receive a prescription, non-repeating. And that works for me throughout the year, as occasionally when I do experience severe back pain. And it's just one prescription for the year. What I've experienced is that even going into the pharmacies, a lot of pharmacies will say, well, we don't carry that medication, or they're very hesitant to even dispense medication.
Correct. The laws have become so heavy now that a lot of the physicians and the pharmacies are very hesitant to prescribe any medication, and they have to they have to have all kinds of oversight to make sure that it happens.
So the pendulum, it seems like it's gone way off to the other side. Are you suggesting that we need to do away with pain medication?
No, not at all. What I'm saying to you is that there's other ways. Pain medications of any kind have many different ramifications in the body. It's going to affect the liver, and once the liver begins to not function properly, you start building up toxins. You can't process hormones. You have inflammatory levels that get way too high, so you have other types of things that do occur. They can affect cardiovascular circulation. They can affect brain function, and the list actually goes on. So from my bailiwick, from the place that we look at it, and after 43 years of doing what I do, there's a lot of ways that you can handle pain. Unfortunately, when it's driven by the alternative, meaning pharmaceutics are driven by big pharma and they have the money to market a lot of these things that you don't get a chance to look at. So let me ask you a couple quick questions. And one, how many years have you been dealing with a pain pattern?
Probably a dozen.
Okay. How did it first start?
It was probably more progressive after a laminectomy.
After a laminectomy. What caused a laminectomy, though? What was the pain original trigger? Did you have an injury? Did you have a car accident? Did you have a fall? Did it come on subtly? What were the triggers?
Unknown.
Okay. So how old are you now?
62.
Okay. All right. So you're at that place where a lot of things happen. All right. So you're, you know, at 62, and I'm not saying you specifically, testosterone levels in guys start coming down, and that helps control pain, by the way. And so as that happens, you have, you know, a greater propensity to experience that pain pattern. Now, from my bucket list, we take a look at the body very differently and very specifically. Neurologically, every muscle in the body has an organ system that it communicates with. How does it do that? Brain, spinal cord, you have 31 pairs of nerves that come off the spine. The nerves divide. One branch goes to muscle, another branch goes to organ. And so you take a look at that pattern. If the organ system, for example, small intestine, is irritated because of things that we're eating, and I'm not pointing this at you, I'm just drawing realizations, the thigh muscle, the quadricep, may begin to misfire. And it's not going to work the way it's supposed to because that's the connection between the two of them. So now the quadricep is a two-hinge muscle. It goes over the knee, and it has the hip flexor as well. So if that's not working the way it's supposed to, suddenly your knee starts bothering you. Suddenly your hip starts bothering you. But if that spinal organ pattern is not dealt with, if the dietary patterns aren't changed, this never goes away. It gets modified with medication unless somebody's, you know, has the insight to be able to see somebody who does, you know, integrative and natural care. So you have that relationship. You have postural patterns. For example, if we're desk jockeying, we're sitting at the desk all day long and we're not getting any exercise, our hip flexors are tight, our back muscles are overstretched, and we don't have that core strength that we need to have to keep ourselves. And then suddenly just picking up our shoe can begin to cause irritation. We don't have that capacity. You look at dietary patterns that increase inflammation. My mantra, if you've heard me say, sugar, sodas, coffee, black teas, fast food, fried foods, alcohol, gluten, additives, preservatives, GMO modified foods, and all the things that they're putting in animals that we consume in our body, they will cause a deleterious effect. You know, the old cliche, take two aspirin and call me in the morning. Aspirin or NSAIDs, non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, will cause joint spaces to break down that are irritated. Why is that? Because aspirin has a competitive inhibition, if you will, in the joint space receptors. What that means is that for you to heal a joint, you have to have the ability for an ion called sulfate to be able to attach to the joint space to regenerate cartilage. But if you take aspirin, it blocks that receptor. The sulfate ion can't get to it. So even though it in the short term may put out a little bit of an inflammatory reaction, in the long term, it actually makes it worse. So you look at all of these different things, and the list goes on and on. I'm just giving you some examples. And so you have to look at the patient from, was there an injury, either was it significant or minor? Was there any kind of biochemical imbalances, anything, and today we call it bioelectrical, anything that's exogenous because we all have our devices. And the third thing is the emotional patterns, the mind. And what's important to understand about that is that the body walks in tandem with whatever decisions the mind makes. So, you know, the old cliche, I think it was Henry Ford said, if you think you can, you can. If you think you can't, you're right. That's how our body moves in that direction. So you have to look at all those pieces. You look at the energetics of the body. Are they working properly? Is the patient strong enough to be able to heal and put things? Or is the body chemistry being manipulated in such a way from many different sources that they can't? They don't have the substances to begin to heal. The body has every chemistry that it needs. In osteopathic medicine, spinal deviations are called spinal lesions. In chiropractic medicine, it's called a spinal subluxation. What you're dealing with is an off-centering of the gliding points of the spinal system in a way that it causes, one, loss of function, loss of motion, and then the ramifications of where those nerves that I talked about earlier, that division, that organ, that muscle, it's not going to fire properly. It can cause an inflammatory pain response. It can cause the disc space not to work the way it's supposed to. So you have this unholy cascade, if you will, of degradation. So what's the solution is to understand what happened and then begin to reverse it, and then provide the substrate and the chemistry, if you will, that the body can heal. In 43 years of practice, I've seen, and I'm gonna exaggerate, about 20% of the patients that we see can't be resolved. And using natural therapeutics, lifestyle modifications, it's a whole pattern, of the field we call epigenetics. If you change the insult, the input to the body, and you support it properly, the body will heal. Ron, I hope that gives you a little bit of a different look. I understand where you're coming from. Pain medication in many cases is necessary to get people through the initial crisis, but so much can be done from a natural point of view in a very short period of time, and we've seen it repetitively all that of the time. If I can help you in any way, Ron, call me privately.
That's what I was talking about, just only really for breakthrough pain, not for, you know, people who are popping 3-4 doses a day.
Yeah, no.
I think there's a difference here, if I'm not mistaken.
No, there is. And it's a situation like something happens, but I can tell you this from personal experience. If somebody comes into the practice and they're in real crisis, the majority of the time we can get them out of it pretty quickly. And you have to really understand, you know, what's going on. Sometimes just taking an NSAID short term and not going to a major painkiller like any of the opioids whatsoever can make a huge difference very, very quickly in conjunction at the same time with structural, energetic and nutritional care. Ron, I hope that helps. Give me a call if I can help you. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. That's very, you know, and he brings up a very, very critical point. If you don't know what to do, you know, can medications help in the short term? Yes. But you don't want to get stuck because they're not fixing anything. What they're doing is they're dumbing down the inflammatory response, but it's not answering the question why the inflammation is there. So you have to shift that. If you're on a constant state of stress where all your muscles are contracted constantly, you've got to do something about that. If your calcium metabolism is off, where your muscles are going to cramp, is it a medication, or do you have to know what the normal physiology is to reverse that? Well, from our perspective, we want to know what chemistries are being altered so we can begin to effectively change permanently that situation. So any chronic pain can be brought about, as we said earlier, by emotional platforms as well. It has, it's an amazing brain-body connection that, you know, that a lot of people, they mouth it, but they don't appreciate it. It's there. And it's not about taking a psychogenic drug, you know, to modify that. It's giving the patient tools and something, you know, that can vent stress, something as easy as Tai Chi or a little bit of very gentle, basic yoga opportunity. Those things are very significant. You know, officially, the American College of Rheumatology said that, you know, acetaminophen, an over-the-counter drug, which, by the way, has an unfortunate effect long-term use on liver function and kidney. So you got to remember, we're talking about quick use situation, not said that this is by far more effective than anything else. You don't have to go to the muscle relaxants. You don't have to, but then get your hands into somebody who knows what they're doing on a natural platform, you know, non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, things we call NSAIDs. They reduce inflammation, they lower fevers, they do all kinds of things, but they will dumb down the pain pattern so you can get the care that you need. Remember what I said earlier, your body can't heal if it doesn't have the biochemical substance and substrates to be able to turn it around. You know, if you're, we have so many patients that come in our nutrition department and say, yeah, I want to fix my nutrition, but oh, by the way, I don't cook. Well, you have to kind of modify that and say, okay, what can we do to make a difference? How can we change that? Well, you have to know what to get and how to put it in there. It's not about throwing a whole bunch of vitamins in your mouth and hoping that'll do it, because so many of the vitamins out there, by the way, are garbage. You know, if you're going to the drugstores to get your vitamins, if you're going to, you know, these mass producers, you have to look at the other fillers that are in these things. And sometimes you're going to be very allergic and sensitive to the fillers. So you're going to increase your inflammatory reaction. Well, that didn't work for me. Well, of course it didn't work for you because it's garbage stuff. You have to get organic, natural sources. And sometimes less is better. You know, a whole lot more is not necessarily where you want to go with these things. So where's the pain coming from? What was the triggering mechanism? When did it first happen? Did you put up with it for a period of time without doing anything about it? And now it's at a place some years later, sometimes months later, now it's intolerable. And because we're adding to the fire continually because the lifestyle becomes worse. But in the years that we've been at this, in the years we've been in practice, pain is one of those things that can be rapidly controlled using a combination of acupuncture, manual manipulation, low energy light laser, gentle exercise, and those who are stressed out, changing, you know, the way they handle their lives, but also using nutritional platforms to support the body and to give it the tools, the substrates that it needs to be able to heal across the board. We're at 888-630-9625. If you want to find us when we're not here, simply go to RoselleCare.com. That's RoselleCare.com. If you have a problem, you want to talk about, you know, the pain patterns that you're in, call the Roselle Center and one of our doctors will be happy to call you back and go into a conversation with you and give you some ideas and tell you whether or not that you're on the right path or is there something else that can be done for you. We're coming up to a break and we'll be back after paying attention to those who bring you Dr. Tom Roselle Live. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Washington's Mall, 105.9 FM, WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Listen to Dr. Tom Roselle Live, as you do every Sunday at high noon on the Eastern Seaboard. And those of you who are elsewhere know the time frame differences. And we thank you very much. And again, we thank our men and women in the military for what they do, but and as much as we can do for you, thank you for reaching out and asking the questions that you ask. We're happy to get back to you as often as we possibly can. And if you'd like to talk to any of our doctors, just call the office, 703-698-7117, and tell our receptionist that you'd like to speak to one of our doctors about something. They're more than happy to help you any way that we possibly can. Talking about a very devastating problem today. It's called opioid addiction. And to the extent that we know that governmental agencies and legislatures are putting the brakes on the use of opioids because people are dying. Tens of thousands of people are dying every year. And the spinoff are addictive patterns to things like heroin. And 80% of all heroin users were first opioid users. That's quite a testament to something that's gone wrong in our society, particularly the rate that it's exponentially been expanding. We're talking about tens and tens of billions of dollars in costs. It's something that we have to say stop already. It's enough, and we have to find different ways. I've dedicated my life, 43 years of practice, to finding solutions for people that are in pain. And the truth of it is that the majority of people, and we're talking over 80% of people who walk into a natural health care practitioner's office, and they're approached properly, and they utilize manual manipulation, they use dietary interventions, they use energetic medicines and so forth, can dramatically resolve their problems. You know, based on evidence articulated recently, the American Opioid Exit Strategy Council organization, if you will, put out several things. They said the first thing that they need to, that a doctor needs to do is perform a first line assessment and care for neck, back, and neuromuscular pain to avoid opioid prescribing, you know, from the beginning, from the first onset, not just, you know, well, here we're going to do it just for acute care. Not necessarily so. There's other ways of making that happen. And they need to provide a very thought out treatment plan to mitigate the induction of drugs and offer effective approach to acute, subacute, and chronic pain management. And that's utilizing the things that we talked about. They are the most effective, even according to the government. So when you have those options to change things, change nutritional considerations, you're eating things that you wouldn't feed to your dog, or well, unfortunately some of you might, you know, but you don't want them in your body. You don't want them polluting your system. You don't want the inflammatory levels. You don't want the referred pain patterns from the organ systems. You don't want the weakness in the muscle structure because the organ isn't working the way you're supposed to. Don't ever forget that organ-muscle pattern. It's there. And you can test muscles to find out. You can look at gait patterns. You can find the adaptive processes that people are doing to, you know, to protect themselves. And a lot of this stuff comes from an internal expression instead of something that actually happened externally. The external was the straw that broke the camel's back. But when you have the opportunity to find out if something can be done, and it's a structural, chemical, emotional platform that you're looking at, and unfortunately in today's world we're only looking at the sequela of those mistakes, the end symptom process, and we want to treat the symptom, not the cause, we get ourselves into these problems as time goes on. Always ask the question, why is it there to begin with? Wasn't my body designed to be normal? Or is it my lot in life that I'm going to break down? I'm here to tell you that that's not the case, that all of us have the capacity to shift, change, and optimize, but you have to seek the right focus. You have to do the right application, and you have to take responsibility. And that's what we do at the Brazell Center for Healing. We're there to make sure that you have opportunity to stay away from drugs as much as humanly possible. In crisis situations, often they're not avoidable, but there's so many things you can do to take back your life, and we're there to help you no matter what. So give us a call and ask one of our doctors to talk to you at any time. More than happy to do that. We're coming up to the end of the program. Take in consideration what I said. And remember, I love you all.